But let us begin by reading scripture, beginning in chapter 4, verses just 1 through 6 this morning. Hear God's word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you have designed by your sovereign hand before the foundation of the world for those who are here today to be here today. And it is not an accident. It is not a mistake. It is not a waste of time. Every ear in this room today has been designed to hear 1 John 4, 1 through 6. So therefore, I pray, Lord, give us ears to hear. Maybe some to life for the very first time. Maybe some to grow closer to you and to repent and to help them to realize that they've lost love for Christ, even though you've opened their heart. Your Spirit knows the need, and I pray that your Spirit would open up that need, for we are here by purposed design today. So open our ears that we may listen to truth. In Christ's name, amen. Continuing our study today, just six verses today because I think they make a unit. The test believers pass. A truthful statement. You know, life is full of tests. Don't you love that? Tests never end. I thought of some tests. And what I have seen for little children, it's the spelling test. Everybody is consumed with your spelling words. Have you done your spelling words? How are you doing on your spelling words? It's like, it's just the main thing. Spelling test. Thankful that I don't have to take spelling test. I just get a little red squiggly line on the computer that says, you. Have you ever spelled something so bad the computer says, we don't have a clue what you're trying to spell. So you try to get close. As we get older, tests get harder. As you advance in school, tests get harder. The dreaded final exam. Have you ever gone to camp or you went to the swimming pool during the summer? And in order to dive, in order to go to the deep end, you had to take a swimming test? Okay, you start down here and you go to that end and you come back. And if you pass that test, you get to dive and you get to play in the deep end. The huge test for teenagers is what? Can you get it? Driver's test. Is that not the big one? Do you remember that? I remember being nervous because I guarantee you, if you failed it the first time, you just weren't a worthy teenager. Life was over. The driver's test. And once you got that, it was amazing. Your life really didn't change much, but you got to drive maybe. Then there are tests for entrances to college. Today when you apply for a job, many times you take a test. I remember applying for a job down here at the Tri-State Aero, and there was actually a math test. And it said on there, if you miss one test, you will not even be considered. I checked my answers. I got them all right. There's the drug test that you have to take to get a job. How many of you, when you got married, had to take a blood test? A lot of you probably didn't. Bill, did you remember having to take you youngsters? You guys have to. Tim and Diane, aren't you old like me? Yeah, a blood test. you're not really married if you didn't take the blood test. And I do not like being poked with needles. And I remember going downtown, and it was actually somewhere in the courthouse, and they had somebody there that would come in. What's that? I know. Yeah, I know. Now, I don't know sure what they were checking for. Make sure you weren't brother and sister. I'm not sure. But there was the blood test. Do you know that there is a device called a chicken gun? There is a device called a chicken gun, and they aim it at airplane windscreens, or you might call it a windshield, and they shoot a chicken out of the chicken gun to hit the windshield to make sure the windshield will not break when it hits a bird flying. I would like to have a chicken gun, wouldn't you? Chicken gun. I am not kidding. Yeah, how can you afford to buy a chicken and shoot it? Then there are children that test our patience, right? Occasionally while driving, you see somebody on the side of the road taking a test, right? At least that's what Stephen told me the test was like. So, right. But the point is, all of the tests never end. And in our text today, John brings up a test. The most important test there is. And he's not saying for believers you have to pass this test, though that's implied. He is saying in this passage, believers, you have passed this test. And after studying that, you realize you have not passed the test, then you need to come to Christ. In fact, my whole thesis statement of these six verses is simply this: the dividing line whether a teacher is from God or the devil is believing or rejecting the apostle's message that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That is the dividing line. Who is Jesus Christos to you? And those two words are important because Jesus emphasizes the flesh. Christ emphasizes the anointed one, and those two are one person. And that determines whether you are a true child of God or you are just a pretender. And so I've broken this up just in two subjects, because in verses 1 to 3, he said, beloved. Verses 4 to 6, he said, little children. So notice in verses 1 through 6, the test. God's people are a discerning people. Now go back to chapter 3, verse 24, because this is connected. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. That's the assurance. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And then jump to verse 1. Beloved, don't believe every spirit. So in chapter 3, verse 24, this is the assurance. The Spirit of God is in you. He abides in you. You abide in him. It's a real transformation. It's not just a pretend. You have this great assurance. You keep his commandments and all the other things we've talked about in this book. And then he transitions in verse 1 of chapter 4. But beloved, don't believe every spirit. So there are two commands in these six verses. The first one is in verse 1. Do not believe. And the second one is test. So he's saying, dear beloved, I love you with all my heart. God's church, pass the test. You have passed it if you're saved. Do not believe every spirit. You must test them. Now, we live in a day of what? Political correctness. And you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to discern. And by the way, the Bible does teach there is a godly judging. But you're not allowed to do that. But he says you must test the spirits. You must discern them as a blood-bought, grace-given child of God, because they might snatch you, which proves you never were. So there's the two commands. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for in the test? We want to know which teacher is from God so we know who to listen to. That is what John is looking for. Now, if you notice this in these six verses, six times John uses the phrase from God. Verse 1, from God. Verse 2, from God. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, twice. From God, from God, from God. Then he uses the phrase world or from the world six times as well. So clearly in these verses, John is saying, you are either from God, you are either a teacher from God, or you are either a teacher from the world. There is a dividing line. There is no third party. You are either listening to somebody that God sent that's from Him, or you are listening to somebody that God never sent. And who we listen to, which we'll see when we get to the last verse, will determine who you belong to and your everlasting life. Now, here's a question. Who are the spirits? Verse 1. Don't believe every spirit. Okay, who are the spirits? The spirits here are the many false prophets. They're also in verse 1. Many false prophets have gone out, perfect tense. They've gone out and they'll continue to go out until Jesus Christ returns out into the world. So you and I, believers, are to be constantly looking, testing, believing only the ones that come from God. But we learn in verse 1 that the devil has sent out many human beings who are false prophets that are empowered by Satan and demonic powers himself. So you and I have to be very careful, which we're going to get to when we apply this at the very end. So that's what we are to be careful of. I want to go back and read 2 Corinthians to remind ourselves of this, because we have to be on our guard. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to these important verses. First of all, verses 3 through 4. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Not to what you wear, not to how big a church you got, not to anything else, but from Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. And Paul is just shocked that they are so quickly turned aside, down to verse 13. For such men are false apostles, same thing John talked about, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So it's exactly what John is talking about in 1 John chapter 4. Be careful. Just because somebody carries a big Bible, has a TV program, has a ton of followers, sounds good, is charismatic, has a wonderful delivery, that does not mean that God sent them. Oftentimes, it's us ones. It's those preachers that have to work hard and don't have the great delivery and aren't super polished that are the ones God chooses, 1 Corinthians 1, to carry His message. So John is saying, you be careful. There are many false speakers of God who are out in this world because they came from the world. Be on your guard. This is a battle that we're in. This is the battle that we're in. And many are following them. So Satan's army is full and he's out to get you. He owns the airwaves. He owns the radio waves. He owns the churches, many of them. And he says, be on your guard. So he says, test. Examine, prove, scrutinize. We're not allowed to do that, are we? That's just not love. Yes, it is. In the right sense. Examine. Has this human teacher come from God or from the world? If you ever hear me get up here and we don't open this book, and I don't tell you to look in this book, and we don't go verse by verse, and we don't cross-reference verses, and we don't preach the truth, you hear me getting off base, you need to question me, and if I do not change, and it's a central doctrine, you need to get rid of me. You're done. You're out of here. You should be very careful to make sure that you test the human speaker is from God. That's what he says. You examine, you approve, you scrutinize. Now, Jeremiah 1, or 14. Let me just read this verse. Because we read this not too long in our Bible reading. This is nothing new. The Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. Listen to what God said. I did not send them. Who are the ones they like to listen to? Jeremiah or all the ones that God didn't send? The ones God didn't send. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, although I did not send them, and who say sword and famine shall not come upon this land, by sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. So this is nothing new. It is nothing new. Be careful, church. That's what John is saying here. Don't believe every spirit that empowers human teachers. Test them. Test them. Because many false prophets, directed by Satan's power and demonic power, are in this world and they shall always be in this world. Now look, we find the specifics of the test. Okay, what is the test? Verse 2. Here's the specifics. By this, John loves that phrase, by this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses homologeo says the same thing that God the Father says, that the Spirit of God says, or Jesus says. Every spirit that confesses, here it is, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That's the test. Who do you believe Jesus Christ is? That's the test. If they say Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you know they are from God. Now look at verse 3. And every spirit, that's a human empowered person by a demonic power, Satan, that does not homologeo, confess Jesus is not from God. Now, isn't that simple? That's how you know. Whether their church is 30,000 or 20, it doesn't matter. Here is the test. Who is Jesus Christ? That's the specifics of the test. That Jesus came in the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean somebody can say, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and he died. Yeah, that's a fact. I believe it. And then they say, yeah, but you need Mary to intercede for you. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not believing what the Spirit taught. No, that's not it. Well, I think you read it. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, oh, the fleshly man, Christ Jesus. It is believing everything about the Son of God that the Spirit wrote for us through the apostles in His Word. So it's not just verbally saying, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe in Christmas and Easter, you know, on Good Friday. I believe everything about Jesus. He is my sacrifice. He is my atoning sacrifice. He is my hope. He is my joy. He is everything that I have and need. That's what He's saying here. But if they do not say that, if they say Jesus is a good man, I got on a Mormon website this week because I was curious. And on the front page of their website, I was reading it and I go, these people are Baptists. It was right down the line. I thought, that's amazing. So then I got out some books and began to read what they define by those things. And they do not believe what they say. They use the same words, but they do not mean the same things. You have to be very, very careful, because no cult that wants to grab people is going to say everything about them on the front page. They got to lure you in, just like Black Friday sales. They want to lure you in. And then once you're there, they will nail you with the false doctrine. So here's the test. Who is Jesus? If I say He came in the flesh, He is the one the Father sent. He is your entrance. He is the narrow way. He is the life. He is the bread of life. All of those things. He is the water that we're thirsty for. Him and Him alone. That person is from God. And if you believe that, you're from God. If you believe anything else about Jesus, we're going to mention some here in a second. You are not from God. I had a conversation last night with somebody. It reminded me of something that happened. We were invited to a conference several years ago that I didn't really want to go, but I went. And we're in this 5,000 member church. It's like a basketball arena for your, like this. This would be like their bathroom, okay? Our room would be their bathroom, which would be awesome, wouldn't it? We have TVs and everything. I digress. But anyway, 5,000 members. So we go into the auditorium for their first session, which was their preacher preaching, and they handed out earplugs in the lobby. Okay. So it wasn't 10 to 15 seconds into the first song, Kelly and I got up and left. It was so loud. I don't mind energy, and I don't mind excitement, but this was so loud, and my heart was just going, vroom, 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 and it just was like, and so we got up and left. So then we decided to go to one of the breakout sessions. So the one that I went to a couple, but the one I went was in a gymnasium, which was bigger than this, and they had folding chairs. I bet 300 to 400 people out there, and this was a session on discipleship. I thought, well, that might be interesting. So the guy who's the head of discipleship in this 5,000-member church gets up there, and people are asking questions. One man stood up and said, when do you tell them that Jesus Christ is God's Son that came in the flesh, is deity? And I'm sitting way in the back, and the guy up there said, you know, We don't bring that up till way several weeks into it because we don't feel it's that important and people just don't want to hear that. And I'm sitting in the back, and if I had been in the front, I almost guarantee I would have said, "Excuse me, sir, what did you say?" But in the back, I didn't want to yell, "Excuse me, sir!" I should have. It wouldn't have been awesome. They probably would have escorted me out. I could not believe my ears. You're doing discipleship of people you've supposedly led to the Christos, the anointed one, and you don't believe that what John said is the test is important until 10 weeks down. I could not believe it. And I won't even talk about the other session I went to. We went out in the car and sat in the car the rest of the time. I could, but there's 5,000 people there. Wow. Maybe 1 John 4 should be read again. That is the test. In fact, it's in the perfect tense again. Jesus Christ, having come in the flesh, He came, His presence is still here, and it will always continue. He is God in flesh. He is the only one God the Father sent. Now, just in case we didn't get this, I want you to listen to these verses. He came in the flesh. He was human. Just listen to these verses. And by the way, let me add this real quick. Christ did not join Jesus when He turned like 30, 31, 32. Christ and Jesus were always together, even in Mary's womb. And then Christ did not leave Jesus when they began to beat Him and whip Him and kill Him. The Anointed One had to die, and Jesus and Christ, same body. Listen to this, these verses. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And that Word, verse 14, became what? Flesh. He dwelt among us. Remember chapter 1? We saw Him, we touched Him, we heard Him. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father. Oh, did we see that in John chapter 4? From God, from God, from God. He came from the Father. And what was He? Full of grace and truth. Truth. First Timothy 3. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He, Jesus Christ, was manifested in the what? Flesh. Vindicated by the Spirit, probably referring to His resurrection, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in the world, and taken up in glory. Oh, 2 John verse 7, because there's only one chapter. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Yeah, but the preacher, he preaches so good. I feel so good when he preaches. In fact, I had a call out early this week sometime, I don't even remember, and I found a certain station which just has this preacher on there, and I thought, I'm going to listen. Oh, I tell you, I got to admit, I was really lifted up. I felt good about myself. I did. I just wanted to tell everybody I loved them. I really did. It was just... He told me that I shouldn't hang around people that are bringing me down. He told me that I need to get out and hang around people that pump me up. I'm going, man, I'm getting into this. I'm going to live for Jesus like never before. And he went to the gospel and he took this reference totally out of context. But you know what? Big deal, right? Because I felt good. In my opinion, antichrist. No gospel, nothing. Deceivers. John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the living bread. I came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Hebrews 9, then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And tell me, class, what must you be to die? What? You have to be alive and alive in the flesh. You have to be a living flesh. Christ could not have died if he was floating around in spirit, you know? Luke 24. And I love this one because this is after the resurrection. Sometimes we think when we're resurrected that we're just going to be floating around, you know? You know, we're just like Casper the Ghost. But listen to what Jesus said in his resurrected body. See my hands and my feet. So what did Jesus' resurrected body have? Yeah, hands and feet. Isn't that awesome? That it is I myself. Then he said, touch me and see. Isn't that neat? Don't just see, touch me. and see. Wow. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. When we are resurrected, we are going to have flesh and bones. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came in the flesh. He died in the flesh. He was raised in a glorified, resurrected flesh. I think that's amazing. Philippians 2. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus Christ emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I don't know how people get this wrong. I actually don't. And I didn't even put down, I think it's John 10:30, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The Greek is one in essence. The flesh was God. And one last one, since it is getting to be Christmas time, you'd be upset if I didn't add this one. Luke chapter 1, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will not conceive in your womb, but we're just going to put a ghost inside you. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. That's why it's the test, because it's true. And I just gave you a smidgen of the New Testament writers. Brethren, don't believe every spirit. You test them. You examine them, because many false prophets are here that sound good. The devil's not an idiot, though he is. He's wise in an evil way. He's not going to show up at your door looking like an evil angel. Hey, would you go to my church? Hey, turn into my radio station. He looks good. He sounds good. Good looking guys, good looking gals. Just charismatic and powerful. And wow. How do you think these cults form? How did David Koresh form? And I don't know if I can think of any others. And you've heard of the stories, right? How do they get such a following? I think they're powered by what John said, by spirits. Test them. Be careful. I know people that went to my Bible college, were in the same class as I am in, today only have a token religion, live evil lives, and there they were sitting right next to me in class. Isn't that amazing? Test them. So if any human teacher empowered by satanic influence, no matter how religious they sound, if they don't pass this test, they have failed the test. Do not listen. Do not follow them. And I thought it's interesting, the rest of verse 3 before we move on. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, but now is already here. These people who do not teach Scripture today are sort of preparing the way for the Antichrist to come. So the Antichrist, who will be empowered by Satan, already has servants here today who are knocking away from Jesus Christ. The test. God's people are discerning. Now let's move on to the last point. Here is the triumph, verses 4 to 6. We are a delivered people. Well, that ought to make us turn a flip in our pew, right? Or your seat. That's why we bought the 4-inch cushions. If you ever did that, it wouldn't hurt you bad. God's people who have been caused to pass the test by the Spirit of God giving them new birth have already been delivered. Look at verse 4. Little children. Here it is again. You are from God. You are from God. You have been transformed. You have not left the apostles' message about Jesus. You have not defected. You are from God. Just like verse number 2. You have believed Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You are from God. But read on. Little children, you are from God, and something else is here. You have overcome them. Who's them? The false human teachers empowered by satanic and demonic powers, you have overcome them. Overcome is nikao. We've seen that word before. It is in the perfect tense. Once again, you have overcome them in the past, in the present, and you shall always overcome them because you have passed the test by God's amazing power. For he who is inside you is greater, megas, than he that is in the world. Now, I love that word, overcome. Nikao. Again, Nike is the word that the shoe company stole this word. And I think it's a Greek mythological god too. Isn't that a god, Nike? Does that ring a bell? The god of victory. You have overcome. You are victorious. You have prevailed over these human false teachers who came knocking on your door. Maybe it was a parent who told you something false. Whatever it was, he says, little children that I love, this is amazing. You've been delivered. You are from God. And you have nikao, you have overcome, you are victorious over them, the human teachers empowered by Satan, who hates you, who is here to deceive you, to blind you in his false prophets that shine like bright angels. You have overcome them, not by anything you have done, but because God has done an amazing miracle in your life. And I wrote this, and I'm going to read this, because I'll never say it. Listen to this. The only reason we overcame them was because the Holy Spirit inside us is more powerful and reached into our dead hearts and made us alive and transformed us and rescued us and delivered us from the deathly grip of this evil monster Satan and his demons and his human false teachers. None of us can say, oh yeah, I've been preaching for 26 years. I'm pretty awesome. Boy. God is not impressed with me one bit. Nobody impresses God other than his son, Jesus Christ. And if it were not for the gospel, none of us could say, nikao. I have victory over the devil and his human teachers who sound so good and so religious and just sound so close and put on their websites things that sound true, but they really don't mean it. You today, if you're born again today, are only on your way to heaven because God entered your dead, blind, evil, wicked, rotten, wicked, dark, dirty. Help me out. You got any more words? Soul. And you ever get like me and start thinking like pretty good of yourself? You're not pretty good. Come on. Wow. You are from God. And you have overcome them. I don't think we truly grasp what that means. And you think of some of these people, and I'm sure probably in that 5,000 member church, I'm sure there were probably many who had come to Christ, but that's a scary thing. But there are so many religious people who have not overcome them because God has not entered their life with the Spirit of God and regenerated them, because the one that is greater than these false prophets is not inside them. Because they have not come to the gospel. The wrath of God has not been taken away. Propitiation that John already talked about. It is so sad today that there are so many Jesuses. Have you picked up on that in our day? Didn't we read that in Corinthians? I would not be amazed if somebody called another Jesus. You wouldn't just follow him. Someone wrote these words. The New Testament is the only authorized portrait of the true Jesus. The New Testament. Why? Because chapter 1, it is the apostles' eyewitness account. It's not a fairy tale. Let us stay away from the social activist Jesus. I've seen that Jesus. The merely a prophet Jesus. Yeah, many of the cults. Yeah, Jesus was just a prophet. He was a good man. The good man Jesus. The great teacher Jesus. He was just the great teacher. Was he a great teacher? Yeah. But he was more than that. The religious genius Jesus. The pacifist Jesus. I knew somebody who actually believed that you should be a pacifist. Because Jesus was. Just turn the other cheek. Give him the cloak. Let's read that in the context. This man believed if a robber came into their house at night and tried to rape his wife and kill his children, he actually told me I would sit there and watch them because that's what God would want me to do because that's who Jesus was. Have you ever seen that cartoon? Went, are you kidding me? Let's get rid of the pacifist Jesus. The rebel Jesus. Go online and hit images and type in Jesus, and you will not believe what you see. There's the rebel Jesus, you know. Down with this and down with that. We are following Jesus. And as we joked about today, don't even wear shoes and socks because you're more spiritual if you don't wear shoes and socks. You think I'm kidding? I kid you not. The Republican Jesus. Have you heard about that Jesus? You know Jesus is Republican, right? And isn't it amazing the life story that's coming out of both, right? The Marxist Jesus. The vegetarian Jesus. It's unbelievable. Rather, let us cling to the Jesus Peter preached at Pentecost. Here's what Peter preached. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, it is the anointed one, Christ, the Christos, who died on the cross. That was the apostles' message. Paul said it in Galatians, I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. You're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you who want to distort the gospel of Christ. But if even we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. So if somebody comes and says, you know, God wants you to have the best life you can have. You need that promotion. That's what God wants for you. And all the other lies. If they're not preaching the gospel, let them be accursed. You know, you'd get stoned for preaching that out in the public square today, wouldn't you? As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Why would Paul say that? Because if you don't have the Christ God sent, you don't have salvation. You're going to die in your sin. Forever punished. Now let's take it a step further before we begin to land the plane here. Paul took it a step further in Romans 8:37. He did not just use the word nikao, victory. He added a prefix to the Greek word huper. Huper nikao. Why did he do that? Because super means beyond and exceeding. So Paul said, we are not only nikao, we are beyond victorious. We are exceedingly, we are over conquerors in Christ. He couldn't think of a word to add to it, so he said, we are alive in Christ, we are from God, we are hupernikao. Now read on, verse number 5. They are from the world. Again, that theme, from God, from the world, from God, from the world. They, the false teachers, empowered by satanic power, therefore they speak from the world. That's where they get their source. And the world listens to them. Makes sense. Look at verse 6. We are, here's the contrast, from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, the apostles' message of the true gospel, as we've seen in chapter 1. Whoever is not, here it is again, from God, does not listen to us. So the key is, who do you listen to? And look at the conclusion at the end of verse 6. By this, who you listen to, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the important thing is, who are you listening to? Are you listening to someone who says, Jesus Christ is sent from God, came in the flesh, that's eternal life? Or I want to be pumped up on Monday. You know, Monday's such a hard day. Or if you work third shift, Sunday night is such a hard night. I just need preachers to pump me up. I just need to feel good. I don't want to hear this sin stuff and this deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. I don't want to hear that I'm a sinner. You ought to gather around elders praying. And you know what you're going to hear over and over and over? Oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I haven't arrived. Oh God. To me, that's amazing, because where does that take us? To the cross. To the cross. To the cross. And it's, who do you listen to? The speaker speaks from the source. True preachers speak from the source of heaven, where our Savior is in God. False teachers preach from the world. You're okay. You're going to make it on your own. Your kids are okay. You don't need to tell your children they're sinners. They're okay. Just make sure they make good grades and they can, you know, get a good job and they can fit into society. They'll get a pass. Who you listen to is so important. I was watching a show called Why Do Airplane Disasters Happen? Something like that. And they had this account on back in 2002. There was a Boeing 757 cargo plane leaving, I wrote the name down, in Saudi Arabia. Near the same exact time, there was a Russian plane leaving Moscow. I looked it up, some 5,000 plus miles apart. The cargo plane had two pilots, because you don't need passengers for cargo, pilot and the co-pilot. The Russian plane had 69 people on board. See, 45 of them were children. It was like a reward for something they had done in school. 5,000 miles apart, leaving pretty much at the same time, traveling probably 500-600 miles per hour. As they began to get closer and closer and closer, there is something on board airplanes called the Traffic Collision Avoidance System, TCAS, TCAS. So as they began to get closer, still far apart, that thing clicked in. And so on both airplanes, they began to hear danger, danger, danger. So simultaneously, the TCAS told the DHL cargo plane, descend. It told the Russian plane, ascend. Problem solved, right? You got one now going down, you got one going up. However, back at the control center in Switzerland, air traffic controller was doing both screens by himself because it was like lunchtime for another one. It was not according to code, but they let it get by. By the time he discovered it, he got on his microphone and told the Russian plane, you need to descend. And so the Russian plane now listened to the air traffic controller, the human voice, rather than the onboard TCAS system. Now we got a problem. Now we got planes that was avoiding the problem. Now they are back together again. And by the time it got close enough for one of them to move, I believe the show said, going that fast, you can travel. It was like 20 miles in a matter of a couple seconds. That's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? That's amazing, going that fast. By the time they saw each other, the one plane ripped through the plane of the children were on and just right in half. So it ripped off the vertical stabilizer on the cargo plane. Both of them crashed. Every single child, every single person on both planes died. What was the problem? It was who they listened to. Now, it's not faulting the plane, but then they made a rule, you now listen to the onboard TCAS. It was who they listened to. And it's the same thing John is saying here. We are from God. If you know God, you listen to us. Jesus Christ is our hope. He came in the flesh. There is no person that can replace him. There is no act of communion or baptism or anything that replaces the blood of Jesus Christ. It is that alone. He is our Savior. He is the one sent from God. He is the Messiah. He came in flesh. He is your hope. If anybody teaches anything other than that, they've crossed the dividing line, and you are listening to something that will send you to hell forever. Now, real quick, let me land the plane. 3 points today. I thought, how can we land this? And I think, first of all, be on alert to the warning. Some of you might be sitting here, I believe this. I don't have any fear whatsoever. That's wrong. That is wrong. You and I, the Scriptures never tell us to take it for granted. You and I need to be ready. Believing, because remember, it matters what you're believing today, not what you said you believed back then, because what you believed by then might not have been the Spirit of God. It might just have been a religious experience. And our faith, James and John tells us, is our proof today of how we're living. Be on alert to this warning. Many are out to deceive you. Many. It might be a person at work. It might be a family member. It might be a TV preacher, a radio preacher. Many are out to deceive you. Many false prophets. Verse 1. Be on alert. Christianity is not a buffet line. That's how we treat it sometimes. I like this. We put those egg rolls on the plate. But I'm not eating those things that look like squirrel. I call it rat on a stick. I'm not eating that rat on that wooden stick. I always pass that. You can't say, yeah, I like the political Jesus. I like the pacifist Jesus. No, it's the Jesus who came in flesh, the only one. Secondly, I thought of, you know, we ought to always be rejoicing. Shouldn't we? We have been made nekao, and not only that, hupernekao, overcomers, hyper overcomers. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. You know the grace. We don't deserve it. Our kids don't deserve it. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he put all three there. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor in the flesh, so that you by his poverty might become rich. We ought to be rejoicing, shouldn't we? That God sent his Son to be like us, to pay the price. That'll help us to, you know, praise the Lord. Thank God. I told somebody last night, if I didn't know of the sovereignty of God, how could I live another day? But I know the sovereignty that he saved me, and I'm walking with him, though not perfect, and he's coming back. And by the way, Mary's not coming back, and Buddha's not coming back, and Muhammad's not coming back, and a pacifist Jesus, and whatever you want to say is not coming back. The one God sent's coming back. So shouldn't that make us rejoice? Even if you didn't get your sale on Black Friday, shouldn't you rejoice? You know? I got to work this afternoon, and I ain't too happy about it, but I'm thankful. Lord, I'm still rejoicing at your provision. Thank you. I'm saved. I'm forgiven because your Son was beaten and murdered for me. Third one, be an active part of passing on the truth. You need to teach your children that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Don't say, we'll bring that up later. That don't really matter because they don't want to hear that. And many times preachers don't preach through books because they know that people in the pew don't want to hear it. Because it's not as exciting and heartwarming as, we're going to talk about worry today. Now you can overcome worry. Everybody's ears are open. Yeah, I want to overcome worry. We're going to talk about finances, how you can be rich. Oh gosh, I got to hear that. We're going to talk about how God wants you to have health, wealth, and we're going to give it to you today. And you're going to walk out of here healed, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Well, I got to hear that. I got to hear that. We're going to talk about doctrinal, theological tests that John said, this determines your salvation. That's the preacher's job to know that. Yeah, it is, but it's our task to know it. Be an active part of passing on this truth. You know, all the personal pronouns in these six verses are plural. You can't see that in your English. They're plural. So what's that mean? It's not addressed just to me. It's addressed to who? Every one of us. We're to be active in holding on to the truth, proclaiming the truth, passing it on to others. Why? Because Paul said the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Well, they don't want to hear that. We might bring that up about Jesus being God maybe 10 or 11 weeks once we got him. We're there, folks. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Pastor Tim, you can't have people want to come to your church if you're going to teach these deep things of doctrine. People don't want to hear that. Just preach about things people want to hear, about money and how you can get over worry and all those things. People, that's what gets put in preachers' ears. There's a time coming. They don't want to endure sound, healthy teaching, but they have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers who will suit their own passions. Isn't that interesting? They will get teachers that say what they want to hear. Oh, didn't John say that? They are from the world. They speak from the world, and the world listens to them because the world put them in place by Satan's power. They will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths. And we, the church, are the pillar and ground of truth, Paul said in Timothy. But in all the tests of life, this is the one that has to be passed. Father, thank you for this amazing truth, Lord. It's sad that this doesn't excite us like, you know, how to handle life and all that. But this is how you handle life. Knowing that we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are set apart. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming for us, Revelation 19. And he is coming to take vengeance on Satan and in flaming fire against those who persecute his church and set up his kingdom and to usher us into everlasting life with redeemed, resurrected, glorified bodies. And we shall never suffer again. And sin will be defeated and sin will be put down. And we will never lie, we'll never deceive, we'll never be tempted, we'll never be upset, we'll never worry. And that ought to give us great hope that President Trump is not in charge of us and Russia is not in charge of us. But Lord, we get so wrapped up into this world, we forget that we have the Messiah, the one you sent, and we are overcomers because of Jesus Christ's flesh and his death and his resurrection. That's the test believers pass. But I think of the song, "Touch Your People Once Again with a Mighty Rushing Wind. Fill us with fire. Rekindle this love for your Son." Lord, as I read the Gospel of John after reading 1 John, he was absolutely obsessed with you. He loved your Son. He loved him. Fill your children with that truth. Lord, if there are those here today that have no life, no care, no passion, if this today was, man, hurry up and get done. This is ridiculous. This is boring. This is, how can I endure this? God, only you can reach into the heart and put a fear of eternal death in their soul and give them life and cause them to respond. So Lord, as we sing, do an amazing work by your Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. Thank you. We rejoice that you sent Jesus Christ in the flesh. In his name we pray. Amen.